Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Outcomes Rocket. Today, I have the privilege of hosting Malinka Walalyadde. He is the CEO and co-founder of Akasa, the preeminent provider of generative AI solutions for the revenue cycle. Prior to Akasa, Mr. Walalyadde was a partner at Andreessen Horowitz, also known as A16Z. We all know who they are. And he's just been in the business of healthcare since, making a big difference. Malinka, so grateful that you joined us today.
I'm delighted to be here. Thank you, Sal.
So look, there's certainly a lot of areas that we're having issues with in healthcare, and rev cycle is one of those big ones. So we're excited to unpack that with you in today's interview. But before we dive into that, I'd love for our listeners to get to know you a little bit better and what inspires your work in healthcare.
A little bit about me. So I was a partner at A16Z. Prior to this, I helped start the healthcare investing team there. Worked on about 20 different investments into tech-enabled providers, payers, biotech companies, healthcare companies. Prior to that, actually, I was born in Sri Lanka, grew up in the UAE, and then came here after that. And there were things I saw at various points along that journey that motivated me to do what I'm doing here. Growing up outside the US, right, in the UAE, we had actually a similar infrastructure, right? We had, for the most part, employer-covered insurance and private/public providers both. And you thought that going to the US, the system would be at least as good in terms of how easy it was to get through the system, because it was actually pretty straightforward there. And then you come to the US and it is actually what I like to say is American medicine is the best in the world, but the American healthcare system is not, right? And it's very odd, this difference. And being on the receiving end for early on, at least, it wasn't really clear why that was happening. And then especially during my time at A16Z is when it became more and more apparent why that is happening. And it's just, there's just an unbelievably complex system of interaction between providers and payers that's just evolved over decades. And it's very hard to unwind. And I saw this through many of our portfolio companies were delivering care in some fashion. And at some point, they had to plug into this financial infrastructure of healthcare, and it was unbelievably complicated for them. It was this new muscle they had to build. They didn't know if it took them away from the actual delivering of care, which is challenging. We also had deep relationships with health systems where these types of problems still occurred at scale. And as you dig into it, a lot of people say, why can't you actually use one of the systems that exists in another country? Because they seem to generally do it well, and why can't we do that here? And I don't know if this is helpful for folks to hear, but there's about four different types of healthcare payment mechanisms across the world. There's the Canadian system where both the provider and the payer are public. There's the UK system where one of those entities is public and the other is private. There's the system that a lot of people are familiar with in the US that's also practiced in Japan and other places where you have private entities on both sides and then you have out-of-pocket payers. And it's out-of-pocket systems. And it's not that one of those is so much better than the others. It's that in the US, we actually do all four of those systems at scale at the same time. So like any one of those systems actually does exist here in the US, right? The Canadian system is actually what we do in TRICARE and the VA. The UK system is actually what we do with Medicare. And then obviously the commercial system that most people are familiar with, United, Cigna, et cetera, is also there. It's just incredibly hard. And so what became clear though was with modern technology and AI approaches, you could actually make a difference here and unwind a lot of this pain that people have to go through.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that bird's eye view and analysis across the different delivery types and payment types. And so there's fragmentation. And so talk to us about what your company is working to do to help the ecosystem do it better.
So there's revenue cycle is what we focus on at health systems. And I think hopefully most folks are familiar with what revenue cycle is, but just to go through it briefly, revenue cycle is the process that starts with providers reaching out to patients to make sure they are eligible for that visit that's coming up, all the way from that and sometimes even scheduling, all the way to the back end where the provider is confirming payment from the insurance company for their process that just happened. And a lot of it can be thought of as this is the provider having a conversation with the payer to secure reimbursement for the visit that just happened. And in order to do that, they have to communicate to the payer, here's the details of what we did. Now, that still can seem a little abstract to a lot of people, so I often like to focus on a specific part of that, which is prior authorization. Prior authorization happens at the front end of it, and most people have had some difficulty with prior authorization in their healthcare journey in the US. And what prior authorization is the provider justifying to a payer that an upcoming procedure is medically necessary and getting authorization from the payer to be able to do that procedure. And the crazy thing here is if the provider isn't, or the provider staff isn't able to do that on time, this very important procedure might literally get rescheduled or canceled, even if it was extremely time sensitive. And the reasons that these things can get, that these may not be done in time is not because people are not working hard enough. Like provider staff, revenue cycle staff are working incredibly hard. It's just a very difficult task because in order to secure an authorization, you have to go through dozens and dozens of clinical records to be able to figure out what is relevant and how do you make the case to a payer. And payers are constantly updating the rules for these things, and it's very challenging. And if you look at some of the stats, it's not only time consuming for provider staff, for revenue cycle staff, it's understandably stressful for patients, right? Because in many cases, you have no idea if you got authorized to do this thing until a couple of days before your visit. That's stressful. If these things don't get done in time, the payer will actually ask the provider to talk to the physician. And now the physician is taken away from care to go talk to the payer and trying to convince the payer about this prior authorization. And there's this stat that I saw from the AMA where they said about 33% of physicians say that a prior auth has led to a serious adverse event for a patient in their care. That's a pretty crazy statistic. So what we are doing is we have developed GenAI products to be a suite of GenAI assistants to support revenue cycle staff in getting through these revenue cycle processes much more efficiently, so faster and more comprehensive. And we as a company have been developing AI and revenue cycle products for many years, and we constantly stay ahead of the curve. And the latest in AI technology are these GenAI approaches, and they are remarkably effective in revenue cycle, and that's what we've brought to bear. So if we think about the product that we just launched last Thursday, Authorization Advisor, it's the first in this suite of GenAI assistants. What it does is it can read through these dozens and dozens of pages of clinical documents and suggest to revenue cycle staff what they should send to the payer. So now instead of revenue cycle staff spending 20, 30 minutes understanding what's happening in the clinical documents, they can just have the GenAI read the thing and just suggest to them, here's what you should send. And it saves them an enormous amount of time. We found that in our early work, it saves them up to 50% of time and makes them 15% more comprehensive, right? So it can, when I say 15% more comprehensive, it helps them find documents that they otherwise would not have found. And so sometimes with new technology, the question is, you often have to choose between faster or better. And in this case, you can actually be both.
Love it. Yeah. And it's fascinating to hear this application of GenAI. It just makes so much sense, right? You've got all this data, this text-based data, and now you're able to process it at lightning speed to get exactly what you need for these approvals. That stat, by the way, is staggering. 33% of physicians have seen adverse events because they can't get authorization. That's wild, man. I was not aware of that. Thank you for sharing that. And for the listeners and for myself too, help us understand Akasa. Like, how long have you guys been around? How many customers are you working with? Give us those details.
Sure. So as a company, we have been developing products for roughly five and a half years at this point. We are based out of the San Francisco Bay Area. Gives us access to incredible talent. The customer base that we work with represents roughly $90 billion in net patient revenue. That ranges from large academics to large for-profits. We typically work with large health systems. And so that's a rough scope.
That's great. I appreciate the level set there and the baseline, just for everybody to understand. And what is a typical, like, before Akasa and after Akasa looks like? I always love to hear about this, especially with these Gen AI solutions. I'm always like amazed.
The things to look for are staff that are honestly more engaged with the work they're doing. Like today, so that's on one side. We think about value creation in a couple of different buckets, right? So we think about efficiency, revenue lift, and staff engagement. Because if you do this work appropriately, it should help make staff more engaged. Because the work that I just talked about of going through documents is not particularly compelling, right? Like, you would rather focus on making good decisions than doing the raw work of reading through documents. And that's what we can unlock here. And as I talked about, for these types of things, we would anticipate staff being up to 50% faster. So they can just do more auths per day. you should see fewer denials and fewer peer-to-peer requests on the other side, because they are submitting more comprehensive auths. They're finding documents that they weren't able to before. And the intuition for why they can do this, by the way, that was not an obvious result to us. We did not know if they would actually be better. And the intuition for why is, even if, like, for staff are not able to read through every word of every document for a patient, because a patient may have a dozen documents associated with that. Your staff have goals, right? They have goals of how many they want to get through per hour. And they will usually try and use their intuition to go through the 3 documents out of those dozen that they think are relevant. But what if there was an important point in the 10th document that they just didn't go through? They're just not going to have time to go through it. Whereas an AI can basically instantaneously go through all of those and find that random note in the 10th document and actually surface it. And then all the staff have to do is actually figure out what's valuable. So that's the intuition for why it's not just faster, but it can actually be better. So that's the other side, right? Like actual fewer denials and things like that. And then higher engagement is the other piece we think
about. Yeah, no, I love that. And we were having, folks, if you probably remember, we were having a discussion about this exact same thing in the use of Gen AI and note-taking. And oftentimes you don't remember that thing that you told your patient, but it's there. And the summary in the note is, so this is just another great example why Gen AI is such an incredible tool and how Akasa is doing a fantastic job of helping all of us operationalize it and make it useful. Thanks for laying that out for us, Malinka. These things don't happen easily, right? You said you guys have been building this for 5 years. We learn more about setbacks than our wins. Talk to us about a setback that you feel you guys learned a ton from that's made you better.
I wish I could point to a single setback. I think that the reality is there are, if you're a founder, everything, like anything, many, most things should feel like a setback because you care a lot, right? You just care so much. And there's this mystique in the Bay Area, right? In Silicon Valley about founder-led companies, right? And a lot of the great technology companies were built by founders to a very high scale. And I think part of the reason for that is founders just feel everything so much more, right? Every candidate that you're excited about that you lost, or every product feature that you thought was great but didn't quite land, or every time you delivered a suboptimal result to a customer, like you feel that a lot, way more as a founder. And then the actual key thing is it forces you to iterate very quickly, right? So you need to feel a lot, but you need to also have extremely high pain tolerance. Because if you just have the first, it's just very painful to do anything, but you need to have the pain tolerance to figure it out and actually iterate very fast. And that speed of iteration is actually the thing that really matters. So like I said, there isn't a single thing, but I think the key thing for us that I've recognized is feel everything a lot. And that just happens natively as a founder because you are spending evenings and weekends on this thing for years, but then have high enough pain tolerance to then want to not have that happen again and iterate fast enough to get better extremely quickly.
No, I agreed. And it's definitely one of those opportunities that every founder has to get better at, because it's hard, but it's those little pivots that you could find, those little changes to ultimately get something that the market really needs. And is there any particular moment that you feel like was an aha moment for you as you guys have been building?
So I would say actually the advent of large language models and Gen AI was a somewhat aha moment. I mean, aha moment for us about roughly 2 years ago at this point, right? So we have been an AI and revenue cycle company from our beginning. But there's been many forms of AI, right? And this particular form of AI, Gen AI, really started coming into the mainstream about a year and a half, 2 years ago, right? Now, we as a company had been tracking these language models even prior to that, but they weren't powerful enough at the time or early on. And so we weren't using that specific form of technology. But when they started becoming more powerful, we started much more deeply investing into them. And we as a company just went invested very significantly in leveraging large language. Once we tested it early on, and there was definitely an aha moment where we were like, oh my God, these things are unbelievably good at understanding language. And I think everyone felt that when they tried ChatGPT. And that's actually the core big unlock that we now have as an industry, right? The ability to understand, in our case, clinical documents extremely well, right? And historically, we didn't have that ability. Like former forms of AI or NLP, we're not very good at actually making sense of long-form clinical documents, right? Now, you can actually extract at scale useful information from dozens of clinical documents instantaneously with a large language model. And that new capability is a superpower that you have to augment a bunch of products. And that's what we're doing. So Prior Auth is where we're, is the first of our new Gen AI assistants. We have a number of others that are, that we'll be talking about across the course of the year. And they all follow the same trend of, look, if you could quickly understand what's happening in the documents, like what could you do as a revenue cycle staff member? And it's unbelievable. On our end though, we aren't just using the big sort of commercially available ones like GPT-4, right? So GPT-4 is the commercially available API from OpenAI. Not be aware. And it's probably the most powerful one out there. We actually did try it and it's good, but it's not good enough for some of the use cases we're doing. It doesn't understand clinical documents in particular well enough. And so we've actually developed internal LLMs that are specifically trained on healthcare and healthcare financial data and revenue cycle data specifically. And so in our use cases, it actually outperforms GPT-4 by 40%, very significant amounts. But anyway, to answer your question of aha moment, that was an incredible moment where we felt, okay, this is few products that leverage Gen AI are just going to create so much more value than
agreed. Hey, what do you think about, a lot of people are comparing Gen AI to the internet. What do you think about that comparison?
Yeah, it's a good comparison. It's one that I have also used in the past because there's different ways to think about Gen AI, right? Is it a tool? Is it a specific product? Is it a foundation? And we think it is a foundation, right? It's a foundation on which you can build. Another good comparison, is it like databases? Right? Like, it's just like the foundational technology tool that most people are now going to use to power their products. Because an interesting Gen AI model by itself is not super interesting. It's interesting, right? Like, it can do things, but you can't expose that to an end user. And you couldn't expose a Gen AI model to a revenue cycle staff member and have anything like happen. You would need to figure out how to, you would need to understand the domain enough to figure out how to plug that Gen AI model into workflow and then deliver a great overall solution to the user. And that's why I think about it as database is also a good analogy, because like you need to actually build an application on top of it.
Yeah, an application, workflows, a user interface that's really useful.
Yeah.
No, I love that. Thanks for your thoughts on that. And last question here, and then we'll move to our closing question around the models. So part of having a proprietary Gen AI, does that help with hallucinations, right? That's a theme that often comes up.
It does, but there are multiple methods to deal with hallucinations. So one is having your own LLMs that just hallucinate less. The other is, and then there are things you can do at the application layer where you force the AI to justify itself. So in all of our applications, these are all human in the loop applications we're developing, right? These are not cases where the Gen AI is just, you know, outputting something and no one else is, yeah, straight to the pair. These are all things that are massively augmenting the user. And so there's things at the application layer you can do where you force it to prove itself. So this is not like a black box. It can, in the cases that we've in our products, it will literally say, it'll explain itself. Here's why I did the thing. And I'm going to point you to the specific part of the clinical document for why I did the thing. There's a number of different things you can do at both the model and the application layer to eliminate challenges.
And that's really cool. So if I understand it correctly, it's the application layer is automating what the human would do to gut check it with some kind of predetermined gut checks.
The application layer does some predetermined gut checks, but also makes it easy for the human to do a final confirmation.
Yeah. It gives a summary point. It'll say, hey, this is why. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. That's exactly what it looks like. The summary, and here's why.
Yeah,
why,
and similar to the notes we were talking about earlier, guys, like it's that highlighted thing where a physician could click on and see that it was actually something that they said, oh, wow, I did order this lab and I see why it's coming out. Love it. Fantastic. Always love to see the parallels in the different use cases. Makes so much sense. Malinka, thanks for sharing that with us. Very, very thoughtful approach to how you guys develop the tech stack and the reinforcements, as we've heard on the podcast, called the clear box, not the black box, right? You see how everything's working. Yeah. All right. Super fascinating. Love what you guys are doing. For everybody listening, struggling with these issues still, what closing thought would you leave them with, Malinka? And what's the best place the listeners and viewers could reach out to you and your team?
So what I'd say is it is a remarkable time to be in healthcare, and specifically healthcare technology right now. Gen AI is a foundational shift in what software can do, period. And it's coming along at just the right time, right? Because I think the healthcare industry's need for these types of technology has never been greater, because they continue to experience massive workforce shortage issues, huge workforce shortage issues. They're outsourcing now when they never used to outsource because they just cannot find staff. So the need has never been greater, but the software industry's ability to deliver against that need has also never been greater, right? Like the capabilities now are just far greater than they ever were before. And so it's an incredibly compelling time to be in this space. And what we have done is we have been very thoughtfully thinking about in the revenue cycle, we have brought our domain expertise, our expertise in both the domain and the AI space to bear to figure out how do you develop really practical, useful Gen AI solutions that fit into users' workflows directly. So Authorization Advisor that we launched last Thursday is the first of those products, makes folks 50% faster, 15% more comprehensive. And if people want to learn more about us, they can reach out to me at malinka@acasa.com or just go to acasa.com.
Hey, listen, thanks so much for that, Malinka. A great closing thought. Now is the time. And folks, if something you heard today resonated with you, take action. That's why we do this. We don't just have these conversations to just have them and have fun. Like, we actually want you to take action. So in the show notes, you're going to find all the ways to get in touch with Malinka. So take advantage of that. And Malinka, just want to say thanks again for being with us. This was a lot of fun.
This is great. Thank you so much, Saul.